This is Frank Morano. You're still listening to Talk Radio 107.1 FM and on WABCRadio.com. You know, over the course of the last 7 months and over the course of the last seven centuries, there has been something going on in households all over the world. The something is parents wondering what will become of their children. Now, the last thing, the most interesting thing over the course of the last 7 months is the playbook on what happens with respect to education and with respect to career preparedness has completely been rewritten. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had the great opportunity to speak with a gentleman whose life mission it is to present career skills to students and help them prepare not just for what they learn in a textbook, but for learning what they're actually going to be able to use in a workplace, things like in a job interview. And I am just tickled pink that Bob Wolf, who is the founder of Hope Skills, who you can check out at hopeskills.com, has joined me once again in studio. Bob, how are you?
Well, I'm terrific, Frank. I walked around Manhattan this evening, and I was surprised that Manhattan is Manhattan. It's got a whole different feeling to it when you walk around and there's empty streets and there's stores closed and the restaurants closed at this hour of the night.
So, obviously, we've spoken before about your career trajectory and how unique it is. You've been just about everything. You've been a sales trainer, a motivational speaker, a marketing executive. As anybody can tell by that beautiful set of pipes that you have, you've been a commercial voiceover actor. Remind folks in brief how you ended up training young people to pursue careers.
Well, the fact of the matter is I was simply filling a gap that the schools were not filling. And I realized when I was talking to kids many, many years ago, 21 to be exact, that kids who graduated college were not able to find interviews. They were not able to interview effectively. They were not able to present themselves professionally. And so what I simply did was I took the skills that I had used during my whole life that have helped me open doors of opportunity, meet new people, have new responsibilities, and I began talking to them, basically mentoring them, coaching them, training them, whatever term you choose to use, and finding out that they knew nothing about the things that you and I do every single day. The skills of making a first impression, how to present yourself professionally, how to communicate the multiple different ways we communicate, how to sell yourself. And that's the amazing thing that came to me very early on, that these kids today and the students today, even today, do not understand that everything we do in life has a selling component to it.
Well, when you say how the things that we do every single day, there's a lot of adults that may not even fully comprehend the importance of communication, right? What is it that you find lacking most often in young people? And I'll tell you, just from my own anecdotal experience, they're a set of skills that I find lacking very often in adults.
Well, they're lacking simply because we're not teaching them at home in many cases, simply because now we have two working parents. We have a lot of stress and anxiety at home. We have the school systems that are focused on STEM, which is that science, technology, engineering, and math acronym. And for some reason, they took the A out of it many years ago, called the arts, which is the arts are a wonderful way to learn how to communicate and express yourself physically and verbally and emotionally.
Well, so when you go and reach out to a class for the first time, how do you convey to them the importance of communication as a career skill and a life skill?
I act them out. I model them. The way we learn things today, Frank, 85% of our knowledge comes through our sight. So if I walk into a classroom or an auditorium or into a business, the first thing I do is look people in the eye. I smile at them. I say good morning. I shake their hand. And today it's whether you shake their hand or give them an elbow or kick their foot or whatever you do. Mm. But the reality is communication begins with connecting on a personal level physically and emotionally. And that's something that a lot of the kids today and students today and even young adults today do not do because they're not taught.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's happening in education today. You have a situation where study after study, medical professional after medical professional has talked about the big problem with students being more stressed out, more anxious, more nervous, and more depressed, mm-hmm. and with all the related issues of substance abuse. A lot of them tend to turn to substances to alleviate that anxiety, that depression, that nervousness. Now, students are having a difficult time. I don't think anybody would dispute this with the way education is going right now in New York City, in many school districts out on Long Island. They're exploring this hybrid approach in public schools, a couple of days of remote learning and a couple of days of in-person learning. A lot of parents are opting for the remote learning full time because they're feeling a lot of anxiety themselves over COVID and things like that. How do students get over this? And with the lack of social interaction that they're having on a daily basis, how does that play into whatever their career will end up being?
Well, that's a good question. And the key for you and I to talk about briefly is students don't even know what a career is. And the reality is, I also, in addition to introducing myself as a person that's personable and friendly and warm and interested in them as people, not as just students, but the reality is everything that we do in life requires the skills that I talk to them about. And when I model the skills and they see, hear, and understand how they act and how they feel, these skills are easily understood right away. The question is, they don't know that a career is simply one's progress through life or in a particular vocation. So when they hear that, and then they learn that kids today are going to have 12 to 15 jobs during their career, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they go, what? How many jobs? And their parents say the same thing when I talk to parents at PTA meetings.
All right, so let's talk about where school kids are these days. One of the serious problems, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Bob Wolf. He's been on the show before. He's the founder of Hope Skills. You can learn more about them at hopeskills.com. One of the problems that kids have had to deal with as a result of the issues with anxiety, with nervousness, with depression, with hybrid learning, with remote learning, is there can be problems with self-confidence. And believe it or not, this is an issue a lot of adults deal with, including myself, being in the public eye on a daily basis. It is a real struggle, and yet it's something that is so important. What sort of coping skills, what sort of strategies can you offer to parents and to kids who might be having a difficult time with self-confidence?
Well, I'll give you a quick example. I did a virtual presentation about a week ago, and there were young high school students there from around the country. There were some young adults there, and there was a couple of parents with the high school students in their homes. And as I began talking about the five skills, I call them human interaction, knowledge, applied skills, and why they are so important and how they build.
HICA, right?
Yeah, I call them HICA.
HICA, okay.
Well, the word hope skills, the word hope for me when I started at 21 years, I just thought it was a cool word. And I got an acronym on it, and I got a trademark on it called Help Other People Excel. And I thought that was wonderful. Except today, the word hope is too prevalent. It's too all over the place. So I've decided to call the skills exactly what they are and what they do. They're human interaction, knowledge, applied skills. So this particular virtual presentation, I began talking about how these skills help build self-confidence. And one young man on the camera in the Zoom presentation said, hey, you know, excuse me, Bob, I don't have a lot of confidence. And I said to him, excuse me, I could see his name was Michael. I said, Michael, why do you say that? He said, I don't feel confident about myself. I said, really? Let me ask you a question. I think you have a lot of self-confidence. He said, why? I said, because you just asked a question of someone you've just met. You don't know who Bob Wolf is. You don't know who some of the other people are in this Zoom conference around the country. And you had the courage to ask the question and say, I don't have much self-confidence. Why? I said, how old are you, Michael? He says, 16. I said, are you a good student? He goes, I'm a good student. I get very good grades. I said, wait a minute. I've just heard two things about confidence coming from your mouth. You're telling me that you're comfortable asking someone you don't know that you don't have confidence, and I think you do. You're telling me you've got good grades, so you're a good student, so you've got confidence in your academic capabilities, and you're 16 years old. Believe me, you've got tremendous confidence. He said, I never thought about that. So I think we need to begin to tell young people that they're going to grow, they're going to earn confidence in many, many different ways. They're going to learn how to be confident in themselves when they take on new risks, new challenges, new opportunities, when they learn how to talk to people that can motivate them, mentor them, inspire them, who can help them understand that as a young person, your life is ahead of you. And you, what you've done, I said to the whole group, I said, I would like everybody to think about what you have accomplished in your life so far that you're proud of. And they all did that. And some of the teachers then interjected and made their comments. And I said, so everything you just said about what you did is the building block of your confidence for later in your life. And those blocks will grow as you grow.
So you've established five HICA or HICA building blocks for self-confidence
Correct.
And for self-esteem. Take us through them briefly.
Briefly. First thing is you make a first impression. You make a first impression five different ways. Then the second one is interpersonal skills. Interpersonal skills are, to you and I, common courtesy, manners, being polite, being respectful, being personable, using words like thank you and please and excuse me. And when I say that to classes, they look at me like, well, we don't do that anymore. We're texting and we're tweeting and we're doing everything technologically.
Let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Let me interrupt you because we were having a conversation right before we began on the show today about diners. You're from Long Island. I'm from Staten Island. These are both islands
right.
that have a long tradition and a storied tradition of wonderful, wonderful diners. And to me, whenever I'm in Long Island, the best thing about the island is the diners, whether
right.
it's Nassau or whether it's Suffolk.
Sure.
I plan my trips out there about the diner. And so you were telling me about this great diner, and I'm going to have to check it out. It sounds terrific. But you said that not only was the food great at a diner that you were recently at, but the owner imparted upon his staff a certain skill set and a certain level of values. And when you would say thank you to the staff,
right.
they would respond with you're welcome.
Correct.
Instead of a word that makes me cringe, no problem.
No problem, right.
Where did no problem come from?
That's a wonderful question, and I've often had fun with waiters and waitresses, and I've said, excuse me, come over here. When was there a problem in the first place? And if I caused it, I really apologize. I didn't mean to. And then they're caught off guard. So some of the old students have said to me over the years, well, you know, Bob, because I let them call me Bob. I'm not Mr. Wolf. I want them to be comfortable with who I am as a person, not as an older adult that's trying to lecture them. But I say to them, listen, what I'm telling you is a professional way to conduct yourself with people. So the first impression skills are there, the interpersonal skills are there, and then there's communication skills. And there's five ways we communicate. And there's four ways we listen. And they don't know any of that. Then I tell them, this is if everything you do in life is a presentation. And I say, do you know what the definition of presentation is? And they go, no. I said, one word. It's a performance. So every time you give a presentation somewhere, you're performing. And then the last skill, which is the building block skill, that's at the very top of my pyramid, is selling skills. Because the reason you do those other four skills is to sell yourself into an interview, at the interview. Then once you get into the job, you're having an opportunity to sell your ideas and your thoughts and your beliefs and your passions to the people you work with. So those five skills, to me, are the most critical skills you will use in every job, any type of work you do, any volunteer position. Because they all deal with people.
All right, so I interrupted my own interruption.
I'm sorry.
Take us through the remainder of the HICA skills.
Well, the communication skills, we communicate five ways. We speak, we listen, we have physical, emotional skills, and we have writing skills. And we don't teach anything but writing skills in school. Public speaking is offered in some of the schools today as an elective. But you and I both know that you and I, and everyone in this building, and everyone in a diner, is out in the public speaking every single day. And it's the most feared thing in life. If you look up what's the number one fear in people's lives today, it's speaking
right.
in public. But yet we call a course public speaking in a school system, which makes no sense. And then you get into the presentation skill, and the whole idea of presenting something is you've got to ask a bunch of questions. What are you presenting? Who are you presenting it to? Why are you presenting it? What do you expect from the presentation? What results do you want to have from that presentation? So there's so much involved in each of the five skills. And then selling. See, you and I, we use the word selling. I changed the term. Mm. The word sell is a four-letter word. I don't use that word. I don't want to sell you anything. I want to earn the right for you to choose me. I just met a young man I helped 21 years ago when he was graduating college. I saw him getting a piece of clothing out of a cleaner's who came out and we talked a little bit. He said, you know, Bob, I never thought I could be a salesman. I said, name is Joe. I said, Joe, how are you doing? He said, Bob, I'm doing unbelievably well. I said, because you've earned the right for people to choose you by the way you act and the way you treat people. And these are the things that students and parents and many educators go, yeah, they're really important. Why aren't we teaching them in school? It's a good question.
Well, it's a question I don't have an answer to. Now, let's talk about where we are focused in terms of education policy, in terms of when you hear presidents and governors and mayors and county executives making speeches about education. They tend to focus on STEM, science, right, technology, engineering, math, all good things. I'll be honest with you. I had a tough time with math as a high school student and as a junior high school student, and many of those skills, calculus, trigonometry, and the like, those are skills that I have never, ever been called upon to use in the course of my life. Now, do you think that it's wise for the education system to be still making this focus on STEM at all costs, or would it be wiser to, I don't know, broaden it out to other life skills, including, I know you don't like the term, but including public speaking and communication skills?
Well, I believe, Frank, that if you're interested in going into medicine or engineering or some field of science, you should take those courses, and you need them as a foundation. On the other hand, not every student needs science, technology, engineering, and math. Technology, I might disagree a little bit. Technology is a big part of our life today. Mm-hmm. We use it every single day. So, yes, technology is, we're pressing the word coding into every kid's mind today. You must take coding today, C-O-D-I-N-G, about how you set up these words in the computer systems. On the other hand, we ignore the fact that the only thing that's the same in every job and any type of work that we do is people. Mm-hmm. And the skills that we need to meet, earn support from, and work effectively with people are not being taught today. And they're not being taught for one reason. We can't test for them. We only teach what we test for. And the skills that I've just talked about, the HICA skills, they evolve over time. It's a process learning the skills to communicate well, to present yourself well, to be pleasant, polite, personable, to say thank you and please. But when you realize the value of you, that they are for you long term, they're the biggest investment in your life.
If there are educators listening to us, teachers, principals, assistant principals, what can they do to make sure their children, the children they're mentoring, the children they're teaching, are in an environment where they can do the best job they can learning?
Well, it's something that I call a positive learning environment. You basically have to be setting up a situation where the children are there to learn, not to be taught. And honestly speaking, every kid is willing to learn exactly those five skills when they're born. Mm. They use everything that they do is through sight, sound, and feel, and touch. And when you're dealing with people, those five skills that we're talking about are critically important in everything that you do. So if I was an educator today, and I work with many good ones who are bringing me in to speak to their kids, I would set visual examples of what the skills look like. I'd put them up in the rooms as what they call classroom decor. I would have their teachers model the skills. I would have the teacher take 1 minute of every day to talk about one of those skills once a month and just make the kids aware that the skill even exists, because they don't even know that they exist.
We're talking with Bob Wolf. You want to learn more about what he's doing, you can go to the website hopeskills.com. That's hopeskills.com. It is very interesting, Bob, that so many children have anxiety about this. Their parents know the kids have anxiety about this, and yet the educational system and the school system hasn't yet really caught up with where parents are and where students are. Next step in terms of where you'd like to see school districts go, educators go, where do we go from here?
Well, I just think they have to admit that what I'm talking about is real. Now, what's amazing to me is it doesn't matter that Bob Wolf says they're real. All they have to do in education is read the media from the business world that is crying out for a set of skills that have been labeled soft skills. Now, whoever gave those skills that I just talked about, the term soft, must have had a very, they must have had a very, very bad day, because the definition of soft is like a feather, like a pillow, easily pushed aside, like a bird. And those are not any of those things. They are hardcore foundation skills for dealing with people in your life.
Fair enough. Bob, we're going to have to end it there. Thank you very, very much. I hope
you're
you
welcome,
come back
Frank.
Soon.
Look forward to seeing you again.